And may the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 89. When Adam by transgression fell, and conscious fled his Maker's face, linked in clandestine league with hell, he ruined all his future race. The seeds of evil once brought in, increased and filled the world with sin. Hymn number 89.
Thank you. Let us read together from the sacred scriptures the word of God, reading first from the Gospel according to John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1, reading the first 14 verses. The Gospel according to John, chapter 1, reading the first 14 verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We now turn to the first epistle of John, chapter 4. The first epistle of John, reading chapter 4. One John chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his holy word, and help us as we would come before him now in prayer. Most holy and almighty Lord God, do help us to come before thee now, as we gather together this evening, some here present in the chapel, and others who may be listening in. Oh, but Lord, may the gathering of the people be unto thee, as we come before thee now, on this weeknight occasion, turning in from the busy scenes of life to worship thee. Oh, to be a true worshipper. Man looketh upon the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. Oh, to be blessed with a broken heart, a softened heart. Oh, a heart prepared even to receive a Saviour. Lord Jesus, come, enter in, be born in us this day. And may we know that indwelling, abide in me and I in you. O Lord, do come and draw us now unto thyself, and draw us away from all the things of this world, of time. Lord, as many here no doubt have come in from very busy scenes in the workplace or education or studies, many things to attend to, responsibilities and duties, matters of importance and responsibility. But now, a little space has been afforded us to come away and to enter into thine earthly courts, to gather together in thy name. O Lord, disentangle us from all the things of this world and captivate our hearts and minds that we might be taken up in the things of God. O Lord, do draw me. We will run after thee, and what drawing we need. Oh, do grant that we might be found by faith, sitting at the feet of Jesus, to learn of him. Oh, do make us teachable, and grant the gift and outpouring of thy Holy Spirit. He shall take of mine, and show it unto you. And may there be that revelation. May there be that opening up. May there be that understanding. May the Holy Ghost fall upon all who hear the word. May there be that wrought of God. Oh, may there be this night something done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Oh, how sad, how solemn, if nothing is done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus, our gathering all in vain, and to no profit and spiritual good, but all to be found poor and needy, all to be found prayerful and pleading for a blessing tonight, for a token for good, a word in season, a crumb from the Master's table. Oh, to hear thy voice, to receive thy word. Lord, may something be done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And may there be a somebody. Somebody hath touched me. Oh, may there be, dear, poor needy sinners coming to the Lord Jesus. Oh, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, to touch thee if we may. Oh, to reach forth by faith. Ah, to behold that golden scepter outstretched, bidding us draw nigh, bidding us come. Oh, to come, to venture. Lord, there may be those very tried, very tempted, and yet venturing. Oh, hoping against hope, but venturing. Venturing to the Saviour, coming just as they are, poor guilty sinners, in need of mercy, pardon, forgiveness, salvation, redemption. Oh, longing to, that I may know him. Longing to know him, whom to know is life eternal. Bless of that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord Jesus, come, manifest thy favour. Reveal thyself, we pray. O show us thyself. Come and do us good. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And grant us that hearing ear, and that wise and understanding heart. Should there be found any here, yet unconcerned, indifferent, far off, content with a form of religion, a lamp of profession, a name to live, Lord, have mercy. Call them by thy grace. Oh, may such be born again. Oh, Lord, do pluck them as brands from the burning. Remember them for good, and leave them not to perish in their sins. Oh, to remember such seeking souls, longing souls. We pray for any who may feel to be in a very low place, or who need the Lord to come, to appear, to lift up. Those who long, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us, and do us good. Oh, those who may fear there's no hope for them, no mercy, no salvation, who feel as it were to be barred from thy love. Oh, would it please thee, Lord, to so come and remember such, and oh, bless them abundantly. We think of that woman who could in no wise lift up herself, bow down. 18 long, painful, distressing years, whom Satan had bound. But oh, on that memorable day, in the temple, in the presence of Jesus, and Jesus called her unto himself, and laid his hands upon her, and said, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And immediately she was raised up and glorified God. Lord, there may be those here tonight in such a case, in such a need. Oh, call them unto thyself. Oh, bless them with that gospel liberty, that peace in believing, and that sweet assurance. May they also glorify God. Lord, remember any who need reviving, restoring, confirming. Oh, Lord, remember those in providential need and the path appointed, the way that we must take, the things which come upon us, the things we must pass through. Any who are struggling, any who are in trouble, any walking a lonely pathway, any disappointed, any who feel so burdened, overwhelmed, things are getting too hard, too great, too difficult. Oh, to be found in that word, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Lord, do remember the dear young people, bless them each, and help them in all of their ways, and provide for them, be that wall of fire round about them. And may they be taught of God. Help dear parents also and grandparents, responsibilities to bring our children up aright in this evil day. Oh, grant much grace and wisdom and help. Remember all in the midst of life, many burdens, cares and responsibilities, and older friends also, more senior years. Oh, may they prove thy faithfulness. Oh, may they prove that as thy days, so shall thy strength be. We would remember those who would be here if they could. We think of those who are laid aside and poorly in sickness or affliction. Lord, do remember them, and would it please thee to lay thy healing hand upon such and raise them up. Sanctify these things. Remember those at home with little ones, any caught up in employment, and do remember any who could have come but had no desire to come. Oh, do be pleased to touch our hearts. Remember this cause of truth. Be with them here. We thank thee for what thou hast done, and yet there is room. Oh, let thy work appear again and again. O Lord, do bless the ministry of thy word here, and may thy word run and have free course and be glorified. O Lord, do remember Zion, remember the churches, remember all thy people worldwide in all their various needs and concerns, the suffering church of God who are persecuted, threatened, attacked, denied, deprived. Lord, undertake for them. Have mercy, Lord, upon our guilty land and nation. Oh, what can we say thine arm is stretched out still. God is not mocked. Oh, but we see no repentance. We see no acknowledgement of God. Oh, Lord, we see man pursuing his wicked ways. Oh, Lord, hear the cries of a little remnant, the salt of the earth that does not salt preserve. Oh, spare us yet, Lord, we pray. Have mercy, overrule our rulers, and raise up such with a fear of God in their hearts, who know what England, Britain ought to do. Return to the Lord. Oh, that we might as a nation return to thee. Lord, do mercifully appear and counteract the forces of evil. It is our mercy, our comfort to believe that thou upon a throne, God is in control. Sovereign ruler of the skies, ever gracious, ever wise, all my times are in thy hand, all events at thy command. We would be thankful for every blessing and every favour, thy great goodness, thy kindness, thy faithfulness. Oh Lord, we take too much for granted. Oh, how unmindful and ungrateful and unthankful we are. Forgive us. Bless us with truly thankful hearts. And especially, but should it be especially, at this time of year, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear Lord Jesus, come now. Come and do us good. Make one in our midst. Command thy blessing. Prosper thy word. Glorify thy name. Pardon and forgive our every sin. We ask for Jesus' sake alone. Amen.
Hymn number 703. Ye souls redeemed with Jesus' precious blood, proclaim the grace of your incarnate God. Sing that amazing, boundless, matchless love which brought the Lord of glory from above. Hymn 703.
Thank you.
As the Lord may be pleased to grant his gracious help, I direct our prayerful attention to the Gospel according to John, chapter 3 and verse 16. The Gospel according to John, chapter 3, the 16th verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Gospel according to John, chapter 3, and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Surely these are glad tidings of great joy. The Lord here sets forth in his word unto poor, needy, guilty, perishing, hell-deserving sinners. Or we see here something of the love of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, all concerned in the salvation of every child of God. Every child of God who shall be found in this word believeth. Believeth. And really, there are two key words here in our text. May the Lord help us to rightly understand. For God so loved the world. What is meant by the world? Does it mean everybody in the world? Well, if God loved every single person in the world, then surely he would save every single person in the world. And that would follow that every single person in the world would also be brought to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And those who truly believe in him, well, they follow him, they obey him, they walk in his ways. They seek grace to do that which is right in his sight. They seek grace to flee from sin. We see very, very little of it. So how can it be that God loves everyone in the world? It cannot be. There are those of whom we say believe in man's free will. That God does love everyone, but it's man's responsibility, his duty, to believe in God, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They put the onus upon man. Man has that responsibility. It becomes man. Perhaps we don't hear it said, but I know in some places of worship it is said that God or the Lord Jesus is stretching forth his arms. He's calling you unto himself. You must come. You must do this. You must do that. Well, again, surely such a religion is of works, man's works. And if it's of works, it cannot be of grace. It almost sets forth as God who cannot save. God who does not have sovereign power. God who is not able to call sinners by his grace. And surely we deny that. We believe in the sovereignty of God. We believe in irresistible grace. For God so loved the world. It came to me in this way. When God created the world, literally the world, on those 6 days of creation, and then God created man in his image. Well, surely there must have been love to Adam. God creating Adam, man, in God's own image. and man stood there perfect and upright and sinless. Until the day that Adam sinned, he was sinless. He was made in the image of God to serve God, to worship God, to obey God, and surely to love God. Until Satan came, and Satan, who had and still has such utter hatred and enmity against God, he came to destroy God's fair creation. And he left aside all the beasts. He came straight to man, made in the image of God. He came disguised as a serpent. He came to tempt man, Eve, and Adam to disobey God, to take of that forbidden fruit. And man did not resist, but obeyed Satan and sinned against God. And sin entered into this world, as we sang in our opening hymn. And, oh, now the image of God has been destroyed. Satan has destroyed man made in the image of God. In the day that thou eatest thereof, ye shall surely die. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. And I believe that Satan had that determination to utterly destroy man made in the image of God. And I do personally believe also that when Satan caused man to fall, Satan perhaps believed that there could be no recovery. There could be no way in which even God could save fallen mankind. We read that the carnal mind is enmity against God. Fallen man, sinful man, his carnal mind, his heart deceitful above all things, so desperately wicked. Ah, this is now fallen man, this is guilty man. But then I trust we believe in that doctrine of election. Before God created the world, God who is omniscient, who knows everything from the beginning to the end, the Lord set his love upon a certain people. He knew that they would be sinners. He knew that they would fall. God, who knows the future, knew what would happen. That they would be born in sin, shapen in iniquity. But he set his love upon them. Now, the love of God, an inexhaustible deep. But, oh, this wonderful love. That God so loved the world. So surely it speaks of his people, chosen of God. God has set his love upon them. And it's an everlasting love. Oh, that is one of the beauties of it. It is an eternal love, a love that can never ever be prevented, ever be destroyed, a love which will never diminish, or that love fixed upon every single child of God down through the histories of time. For God so loved the world. Now, though man has sinned against God, and man deserves eternal death, man deserves to perish eternally in hell because he has sinned against God. And yet God was determined to save. Determined to save, such was his love. And really in that plan of salvation, there is God's love. God's love unto his people. That there must be a way to recover fallen man. Oh, there must be a way to redeem to buy back, to bring back, or there must be a way to deliver out of the hand of Satan. For God so loved the world. Herein is love, that he gave his only begotten Son. We may tend to look at this clause and think of God the Father, which is true, he gave. But let us not lose sight of the willingness of God the Son, the Lord Jesus, to obey his Father and to come, and all that it meant unto him, the eternal Son of God, to come down to this sin-cursed earth to save his people from their sins. He who is God evermore, he who had the worship of the angels and that glory in heaven above, must be found a real man. Oh, what matchless condescension that Almighty God should become a real man. As we were singing, or is it another hymn, Bow Down Sense and Reason. Faith only reign here. O, the Lord grant us that faith to reign in our hearts, to believe, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. That little babe at Bethlehem, Almighty God, O, for God so loved the world. Again, later on in John we read, of the Lord Jesus, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And in one sense, it was love that brought him down from heaven. It was love as he lived his life here upon this earth. Love to his Father in obeying the law of God. Love to his people as he wrought out that robe of righteousness for them. And that love to lay down his life, to suffer that ignominious death, to shed his own heart's precious blood, to make atonement for sin. Was ever love like this? Oh, the Lord Jesus, he knew what was before him, those sufferings, those agonies, and all the bearing of the sins of his people. It goes far, far, far beyond our comprehension. But all to believe, he bore the sins of many. All to believe that he bore my sins. All to know that our sins, which we have committed, of which we are guilty, of which we deserve eternal condemnation, were taken from us, imputed really unto the Lord Jesus, who was made a curse for us, he who knew no sin, and yet became that sacrifice for sin. What love. And it wasn't the nails that held into the cross. It was love. Or they taunted him upon the cross. He saved others himself. He cannot save. But it was so true. He would not save. He came to save his people from their sins. Oh, what love. To suffer, to bleed, to die. For God so loved the world. Oh, herein is the deep. As the Lord Jesus bore the sins of his people, the anger and wrath of God against those sins of every child of God fell upon the Lord Jesus. What he suffered, what he endured, we cannot begin to imagine. Suffering so intense as the wrath of God fell upon him. Again, it has been said, I tend to agree, though, those hours of darkness whilst Christ was upon a cross was that man could not bear to see those sufferings of Christ. For God so loved the world. And in this way, for this purpose, was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Though man sought to destroy Christ, the Lord Jesus, destroyed wicked man. How he destroyed death, the death of death in the death of Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Just think of that time when God commanded Abraham to take his only son Isaac and offer him up upon one of the mountains of which God would show him, and Abraham by faith obeyed God. What a display of obedience. Even to the point of binding his own son Isaac and lifting up a knife ready to slay him. But God intervened. Abraham, Abraham, lay not thy hand upon the son, neither do him any harm. For now I see that thou obeyest God. And there was that ram caught in a thicket. I think of that question Isaac put to his father as they ascended the mount. Father, the wood and the fire, the flints. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And the answer that Abraham gave Isaac is, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Perhaps Abraham did not fully understand the answer that he gave his son Isaac going up the mount. But as they both came down the mount, and perhaps they passed that place where Isaac had asked the question, and now Abraham fully understands the answer. Jehovah Jireh, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. The Lord will see, the Lord will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Now Isaac was spared, substituted. And perhaps it was there with which the Lord Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day and was glad. Or perhaps he saw something there in his son Isaac. The people of God being spared. But that ram, the Lord Jesus, spared not. Who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We've spoken of God the Father. We've spoken of God the Son. Now the Lord help us to speak of God the Holy Ghost. That whosoever believeth in him, in the eternal Son of God, in the Lord Jesus Christ, should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And every child of God without fail shall be born again. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord. and by the blessed work of the Holy Spirit, they shall be brought to believe in him to the saving of their souls. This is a work of God. Indeed, later on, just a few verses later, we have this: he that cometh unto the light. And the Holy Spirit will bring the child of God unto the light. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. The work of God. All to bring that sinner to the light. And it may be perhaps seen in two ways. Brought to the light, you're brought to the truth. The light reveals the truth. I've mentioned this illustration many times, but you go into a very dark room and nothing can be seen, and you may be told that such items are in that room, and you may have good reason to believe what you've been told is the truth. But then, should light come into that room, then the light will make manifest if you've been told the truth or not. Satan is a liar from the very beginning. Yea, hath God said, ye shall die. To question the word of God. He seeks to overthrow the word of God. He seeks to destroy the word of God. To question the word of God. And man, being blind by nature, a servant of Satan, would rather believe a lie than the truth. But the Holy Spirit, working the heart of a child of God, brings them unto the light and reveals to them the truth, and so often the truth of themselves. As that light shines into their hearts, and oh, what a solemn discovery is made of sin, of wickedness, of evil, of corruptions, oh, that den of iniquity. Oh, our hearts by nature so wicked, so evil, so deceitful, so corrupt. And the light will reveal the truth. And the child of God, he shall know the truth. The truth. Again, as we were singing our opening hymn, that they are sinners. A sinner before an holy God. One who has sinned against God and broken the holy law of God, not obeyed the commandments of God, but have sinned. The Holy Spirit will also reveal the wages of sin is death, eternal death. God is so holy, so pure, so righteous. In this evil day in which we live, sin is counted such a trivial thing. Man now scoffs at it and thinks nothing of it. Man seeks to speak ill of God. But all to an enlightened soul, the truth, the reality, the holiness of God, the majesty of God, the glory of God, the power of God. A man trembles before God. A guilty sinner surely must tremble before Almighty God. Oh, to view God out of Christ. God angry with the wicked every day. God who is a consuming fire. God who would not be mocked. And oh, that day of judgment. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. But fallen man deserves to perish. A sinner deserves the punishment of his sins. In the Garden of Eden, you had Adam blaming Eve. Eve blaming the serpent, as if they were saying, it wasn't my fault. I'm not to take the responsibility. and fallen man, he would blame others, blame infirmities, blame weaknesses, blame whatever he can, but take the blame off me. An enlightened, quickened sinner, trembling before God. Oh, he feels that guilt. Oh, he dare not blame another. Dare not blame infirmity or whatever. He knows he is guilty. His sin has found him out. And oh, there before God he stands a condemned, guilty, hell-deserving sinner, knowing that he deserves to perish eternally because he has sinned against God. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. One of the cries the Holy Spirit will put into the heart of that enlightened soul is that cry for mercy. To believe that God is merciful. There is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. Oh, that God, we read in Scripture, forgives sins. Yes, the sins of his people. But I say that cry, the Holy Spirit puts into the heart of that enlightened soul, God, be merciful to me, the sinner, the guilty sinner, the vile sinner, the hell-deserving sinner. But Lord, have mercy. Mercy, of course, undeserved. Oh, there can be no deserved mercy. The two words are irreconcilable. And I believe it's only a child of God who really understands what mercy is. Being stripped of his own self-righteousness, he has nothing to pay, no works to plead, no goodness of his own. He would have no confidence in the flesh. He has nothing good to offer unto God but mercy. Mercy. The Holy Spirit again, leading, teaching, begins to reveal the Lord Jesus. That door of God's mercy, and mercy through blood. Oh, the wonderful mercy of God, and he is the propitiation for our sins, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. This is he believeth, that whosoever believeth, a second key word, believeth. Oh, may we be found of those who truly believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to the salvation of our never-dying souls. And are that believing, not academic, not theological, but that believing in the heart, from the heart. And that believing, that's why I read from chapter 1. We have a description there of those who believe. He, that is Christ, was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. They rejected him, they did not believe in him. But as many as received him, believe we can say, but as many as believed in him, to them gave he power, the right, the privilege, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, that name of Jesus. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. Oh, for unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God, born of God. And those born of God by the Holy Spirit are brought to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I said not an academic or theological believing, but where there's believing, there is faith. And really the two are the same. Where there's faith, there's believing. Where there's believing, there is faith. And it's that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, from that believing, there is that coming to him. Do we not read in Hebrews 11 that without faith, it is impossible to please God? For he that cometh unto him must believe that he is, and a rewarder of all those who diligently seek him. That whosoever believeth in him, believing in him as the eternal Son of God, believing in him as God manifest in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, believing in him as a Saviour of sinners, and as a Saviour of sinners, fleeing to him as a guilty sinner, or believing that he is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Whosoever believeth in him. Now again, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. So precious as the one thing needful, the pearl of great price. Oh, so precious to the seeking soul that they must find him. So precious to that needy soul that they must know him. Oh, how they long for the Lord Jesus to be revealed unto them. This my incessant cry shall be, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. And it's believing in the word of God, the sacred scriptures which are able to make us wise unto salvation. Oh, to truly believe what we profess to believe in the word of God, to believe those promises, which are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest unto your souls. O burdened soul, troubled soul, perplexed soul, guilty soul, Jesus says, come unto me. That gospel invitation. Ye who long to find that rest in believing, that rest for your soul, there is rest in no other. There's no rest in a profession of religion. But that rest is found in the Lord Jesus alone. Ye who labour and are heavy laden, oh, under that burden of sin. You remember Christian in Pilgrim's Progress, he had that burden upon his back. He couldn't remove it. He couldn't take it off. He couldn't be free from it. Oh, how it pressed him down. And enlightened sinners, oh, they feel that burden of sin. And sin becomes such a burden. Sins of thought, sins of word, sins of deed, of commission, of omission. Sins against an holy God. Sins against thy holy law. Oh, is sin a burden to you? Sin's a burden to every child of God, that whosoever believeth in him, and those believing in him by the Holy Spirit will be coming to him. I think in prayer we made mention of that woman with the issue of blood. Well, really, she was one who believed in him. when she came to him, all with that desire which the Lord put into her heart. If I may but touch a hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. That whosoever believeth in him, she was fully persuaded. Oh, but she longed to come to him. She longed to touch him. She longed, if he were, to draw forth that healing virtue. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. The Lord Jesus who came to save his people from their sins. That whosoever believeth in him. And there are so many who will not believe, refuse to believe. The unbeliever, or they may be satisfied with a lamp of profession. They may be satisfied with externals and religion. Or they may be satisfied with a name to live. But they do not believe. I think we can keep coming back to this word. Unto you therefore, which believe, he is precious. Now also why I felt led to read from the first epistle of John chapter 4. That display of love. For God so loved the world. His people. Every single child of God. Every believer. God has set his love upon. But then, oh, how they're brought also to love him. We love him because he first loved us. Or do we know anything of that love to God? And oh, does our life, walk and conversation profess that love, display that love? If he loved me, keep my commandments. Oh, are we drawn to the Lord Jesus? Drawn to him as our only hope of salvation? Are we drawn to that fountain open for sin and uncleanness of his precious sin atoning blood? Or do we long for that sweet sense of blood-bought pardon? Are we drawn to his spotless robe of righteousness, knowing that we have no righteousness of our own? Would we be found clothed upon? Is there such an attraction in the Lord Jesus? This afternoon, trying to prepare for the service here, I felt led to the Song of Solomon. There, generally speaking, the two characters, the bridegroom and the bride, we have Christ there and his church, and that love, or that love of Christ unto the church, to take her unto himself, and oh, to love her eternally, to lay down his life. That wonderful display of love. But also that love from the bride to the bridegroom. That love of the church, which is made up of individuals, made up of people. The living church of God. The mystical body of Christ, he the head, we the members. But that love, and surely in every child of God there will be that love unto him. Do not I love thee, dearest Lord? Oh, try my heart and see, and tear each hateful idol down that dares to rival thee. Now, one of the complaints of a child of God is his lack of love. Oh, at times feeling so lethargic, lukewarm, indifferent. Still having that old man of sin, or the sinful inclinations, that love of the world and the things of the world. But how the Holy Spirit, again, in that work of grace, so deals with every child of God to wean them from this world. I always remember Bethesda visiting one dear old lady who knew she was coming down to her end. And she said to me she had family, she had many, many friends, and she was greatly loved herself. She said, I've got nothing to keep me back here anymore. Oh, the Lord had weaned her from everything. She just had that longing to depart, to be with Christ. That love to him. Oh, we may feel there's so many things binding us yet to this world. May the Lord ever draw us unto himself. Remember, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Those who truly believe in him, oh, they love him. They love him. And they feel their love is very poor, very faint, comes far short. They bemoan at times their lack of love as well as their lack of zeal. But in their hearts there is that love to him. Oh, they're brought to love his word. They're brought to love the gospel. Oh, they're brought to love the things of God, the people of God. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And they're the apostle. He writes of that love, loving one another. Oh, when we think of the love of God to all his people. Brethren, it becomes us to love one another. And, oh, the loving kindness of God. Be ye kind one to another, forgiving one another, forbearing one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. Previous verse, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Eternal, everlasting life. Well, it's that spiritual life begun in a new birth. And that love manifest unto the Lord Jesus. And I believe throughout their life here upon this earth, that love will deepen. That love will increase. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And as they learn Jesus Christ, or as they learn of him and, oh, his great love to them and what it meant to him and what it cost him, the laying down of his life, the shedding of his blood, the bearing of their sins, all to save their souls from eternal damnation. Oh, that love unto Christ and that desire to be taken to glory. There, no more sin, no more Satan, no more world. But their happy, holy place of love. But have everlasting life. We just do not know what heaven will really be like. The Lord Jesus has said he has gone to prepare a place for us. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also eternally, eternally. Oh, that holy, happy place. May we be found amongst those who, by the Holy Spirit, are brought to truly believe in him. Oh, could I but believe, then all would easy be. I would but cannot, Lord, relieve. My help must come from thee. The child of God is beset with that sin of unbelief, the very opposite of believing, the very opposite of faith. Oh, that I had not of myself his body of sin and death. Oh, so much unbelief. May the Lord grant us that faith to truly overcome. Oh, to overcome unbelief. We long for that seal. We long to be made sure. And again, just perhaps in conclusion, coming back to the Song of Solomon, brought to that blessed place where we can truly say, my beloved is mine and I am his. Loved with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. For as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen.
If the Lord will, Mr. Pickett has kindly agreed at short notice to take our Christmas morning service at 9:30, and God willing, Mr. Chapman will preach next Lord's Day, Mr. Tim Parrish on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 557. How sweet and precious is the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Lamb, to sinners in distress, a name just suited to their case, pregnant with mercy, truth and grace, with strength and righteousness. Hymn 557.
Thank you.
now. May the grace of the Saviour and the love of the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.